Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for
Issues of Today.
Coming to you live. Here he is,
your host, Taj Longino.
Hey, what's going on out there, everybody? I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We got a great show coming on right now. We have a very important guest. Somebody's going to come in and give us some huge insight on what's going on with the church. Last week we did God versus America, but this week we're going to talk about something different with the church. We're going to be speaking on hypocrites in the church, and to help us get some understanding of what that really means in a church setting and how we can better the church and get the church back to where it used to be. We got somebody here today by the name of Deacon Derek Wright. How you doing out there, Derek?
Pretty good. How you doing? Derek White, how you doing?
Derek Wright, I'm sorry about that. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Man, doing great, man. We want to thank you for, calling into the show and talking with us today.
Okay.
Pretty much, we let you go ahead and tell the public, tell the listeners everything, a little bit about yourself and your background and who you are and pretty much what you're going to be helping us out with today as far as hypocrites in the church.
Okay. Name is Derek White. I reside in Richmond, Indiana, a member of the Mount Olive Baptist Church under the pastor of Reverend Ernest Randall. And I've been back in Richmond about 8 years. Originally, I was born and raised here and left in 81 and moved to California and was out there 19 years under Reverend Lester Cannon Sr. at Cornerstone Baptist Church and got a lot of training while I was there. I was the chairman of deacons for a while, the Sunday school director, coordinator of youth ministry, evangelism discipleship coordinator, and then did some things for the district youth and county and so forth. Then also attended Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary and then moved here to Richmond and continued my schooling with Simmons Bible College at Mount Olive with Pastor Randall. Then also help him as an administrative assistant, teach Bible study, coordinate evangelism and so forth, and street witnessing. And then we're all part of what's called Nationwide Evangelism Training, which is NET, and that helps the various churches mobilize the membership in evangelism and discipleship. There's a misconception that the pastors are the ones supposed to do all the work, when in reality they are to equip us to do the work of the ministry. And so, as a matter of fact, we're going to have a national NET meeting in Kokomo in June this year, June 23rd through 27th at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church in Kokomo and East Sycamore, and churches from all over the country will be coming to Kokomo, Indiana, and this is the first time that the national session will be held out away from California. So we're excited for that opportunity, and I'm real blessed to be part of that ministry. And I guess today we'll be dealing with, as Todd said, dealing with hypocrisy in the church and some things we can do to hopefully get things turned around.
Now, me and you spoke previously, and you, this is a side of what, this is some outside of the church, but you also do some things in the community as far as housing. I just want to give you a brief description on what you do with that. So they can understand that, there are people out there in the church who actually commit time and really care about what's going on in the community.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm the executive director of the Housing Authority of the City of Richmond, and I've been here again 8 years. I have a total of 27 years in the housing business or public or affordable housing industry. And also I'm on various boards here in the city, the Conflict Resolution Center Board. I'm on the Boys and Girls Club of Wayne County. I'm on the Wayne County Minority Health Coalition Board, on the Communities and Schools Board, as well as the Mayor's Housing Action Group. And all that takes place during the work week, certain meetings we have monthly and all that. Then we do other things with the residents. As a matter of fact, we have some residents now that we've just sent to Miami, Florida to a workshop, and they're real excited. And so I really believe in investing in the community and in the people that we serve, because if we didn't have the people, then we wouldn't have a job. And so we're blessed to have the people that we have here, and we're just real pleased with that.
Now, for any listeners out there who want to call into today's show, you can call at 347-326-9697. Once again, if you're just tuning in, we're sitting with Deacon Dr. White and Deacon Derek Wright. And we're pretty much going to touch base today on hypocrites in the church and how we can get the church cleaned up. So just pretty much going right into the conversation here, what is the actual spiritual definition of a hypocrite?
Well, from Bible dictionaries, it deals with one that puts on a mask or a person who is an actor or a pretender or a stage player. And many times, you know, people, you know, they'll say, you know, that Christians are hypocrites in the church, but in reality, every reference that Jesus speaks of dealing with hypocrites is actually dealing with those who are non-believers. And one of the things I was thinking when we talked the other day was, you know, you wonder why you have such, you know, as far as hypocrites in the church. And one of the things that I thought about was because of the value of Christianity, because you notice with money, you don't see counterfeit dollar bills. They're always 20s, 50s, and 100s. And one of the reasons, because they have more value and are more useful. And so it is with Christianity, just the value of Christianity and what it really represents. You know, people want to get it cheap, so to speak, or cheapen it by trying to go around the way that Christ has prescribed for us to get it, which is to actually receive his son in order to be saved.
Almost like taking the word out of context. And using it, it's almost like taking the word out of context and using it to fit your own daily life.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just reading it and then applying it, you know, people try to make twists. Well, I think I can do this, or I may get away with this, because, you know, mm-hmm. this actually means, you know, instead of just taking it for what is, you know, taking what you're reading and just applying that and not trying to twist and turn it to make it fit your needs, pretty much.
Yeah, that happens a lot. That's absolutely right.
And
absolutely.
I've noticed some things in church where people actually have, they feel like they don't have to go to church to live a Christian life. They don't have to fellowship. They don't have to tithe. They don't have to, some people, they would have you believe that all I got to do is live my life right and pray and have my belief, and then I'm good. I don't have to go to church, because some people feel like, well, they got ATM machines in churches. I'm not giving my money to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I mean, what is really your response to something like that?
Well, really, first of all, it's for in order to be saved, one must receive Christ as Savior and Lord. And many times, just like, and what has happened in a lot of churches, people have missed that. You know, they've in some traditional settings, people will quote unquote join the church, but never join Christ. And I kind of liken that to, you know, being in a baseball game and you hit the ball over the fence. And in your jubilation, you run around the bases and you jump over first base. You don't even touch first base because you're so happy. And you
right.
touch second, you touch third, you get home, and everybody's shouting, but you hear this small, faint voice that says you're out. And you say, well, what do you mean I'm out? You know, I just hit the ball over the fence. Didn't you see this? I won the game. And the referee or the umpire will say you missed first base. And that's the same thing that's going to happen with a whole lot of people who just join church and never join Jesus. They miss first base. And they do all these other things, you know, get in choirs and serve on usher boards and all that, and all that's fine. But first base is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then all the other stuff takes place as a result of that. We're not saved by our works, as says Paul in Ephesians 2:8-9. He talks about, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's the biggest problem, where people have missed first base and done a whole lot of other things and think they can be saved. And then the other thing, to say, you know, that I don't have to go to church and all that, the scriptures tell us that we ought not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which means that we should come to encourage one another and help one another and so forth as we see the day approaching. And so it's commanded in scripture that we actually are part of a fellowship.
Okay, I understand. Now, second part of my question is, how can us as Christians maintain our integrity in church as well as in the community? Because, you know, the church has taken a lot of heat over the years for a lot of – now, actually, that's another question I'm asking in a minute, but let me just stick to this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, how can us as Christians maintain our integrity in church as well as in the community? I mean, you pretty much can give a great example on that, because you're also in the community as well as in the church.
Right. One thing is, James says it well, for us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I think no matter where you are, if you're a Christian, you're a Christian, period. It doesn't matter where you are, and that's something to not be ashamed of. And so many times just your living an example in front of your fellow man, oftentimes people will want to know, what is it that's different about you, or why do you have that glow, and you know, and so forth. It's just there's something different about your countenance sometimes. And I think oftentimes of Moses when he went to the mountain that time, and he said to God, he said, "Show me your glory." And God said, "Well, now, you know, you can't, Moses, you can't see my glory. Nobody can look at me and live." And he said, "But I tell you what I'll do. I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock, and I'm going to cover it with my hand, and I'll make my goodness pass by. And then when I pass by, I'll lift my hand, and you see my back part, but you can't see my face." And so he put his hand on, put Moses in the cleft of a rock, and his presence went by, and he lifted his hand, and Moses got a peek at his backside. And then if you keep reading in Exodus 34, as he was coming off the mountain, how Moses' face shone because he had been in the presence of God. And they had to put a veil over it. It was so shiny. And so it is with us. When we sit down in the presence of God, he can change our character, our countenance, our Christianity, our commitment. The list goes on. And so being doers of the word, and James says, be doers, not hearers only. And he gives the illustration of you know how a man goes and looks in a mirror, and then and then when he looks in the mirror, he doesn't change. And that's what happens when we go to the Word and don't make the changes. But when we go to the Word and make the changes, then I think that the integrity of overall Christianity for the church can really have a positive effect on those that we're around every day.
Okay, now let me ask you a question, because this is I've had this conversation with people on more than one occasion. People believe. I'm talking about the music aspect. Now, when you get saved and you get baptized, there's a lot of things about you that will change.
Mm-hmm.
Your language will change. Your behavior will change. The way your eating habits might change. A lot of things about you will change just because based on what it is you're supposed to do. Now, would you say that the music that you listen to, mm-hmm. once you have made that commitment, needs to change or should change? Could you still consume the same type of music and still be able to hold the same type of standard of a Christian that you're supposed to have?
I think go ahead.
Because we've had this kind of like, okay, now I'm a member of my church, but mm-hmm. I grew up listening to hip hop, and
mm-hmm.
I love hip hop,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I've kind of altered the type of hip-hop I listen to now versus what I used to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have you, and I've had this discussion with people, and they would say, well, you know, if you, you know, you really can't be listening to that kind of music and so forth. But I believe, honestly, if you can listen to it and not let it change your perception,
mm-hmm.
change, alter your attitude, change how you talk to people, as long as you can still keep your integrity, who you are, and you know what you are,
mm-hmm.
then the music, personally, in my opinion, this should not matter to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain degree. I mean, it's what you listen to does have some type of, you know what I mean? But to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you go ahead and respond to that.
Yeah, that's you pretty much answered the question there, you know, as far as it's not affecting you, as far, and then you've changed what you hear. I like old 70s stuff myself, you know, from way back. And then a lot of instrumental things, but there are some people, you know, that come around you that it becomes, for them, a stumbling block. And so if I'm going to be a stumbling block for somebody that's upset with me listening to somebody like Boney James or, you know, some instrumental music, then I won't play it so it doesn't offend them. But,
right.
You know, Boney James is instrumental, you know. And you're absolutely right. It's not affecting your witness. And sometimes you can actually take that music you're listening to and actually reach a person, like in the hip-hop situation.
Right.
And actually reach a person, you can turn that conversation to Christ in a witnessing opportunity and reach them.
And that's exactly, not wording it that way, but that's how, in a way, I was thinking it too. You know, sometimes
mm-hmm.
what you listen to, you can reach somebody that's on that same level and then talk to them in another manner. And
mm-hmm.
you never know, you might bring, that might be another person to them brought to Christ. But
right.
you done did a good deed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and at the same time while you've been listening to the music that they listen to, and they might have got a different perception of, but you changed that perception, and now they done came on in. And to me, that's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, going to the next question. Since, you know, like I said before, church has had a bad name for some years now due to its own internal mistakes with,
mm-hmm.
you know, the molestation, you know, pastors taking money. I've actually seen pastors in the city you know, riding around in luxury vehicles that you can't even buy in this city. You got to go out of town to get them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if you have a choice in a low-income neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
doesn't, you know what I mean? It don't make any sense. But due to his own internal mistakes, you know, how can we get non-believers and or believers that had either backslided from the church or just don't want to come to church at all due to those reasons, how can we get those people back into church?
The main thing is in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, you know, Jesus talks about, you know, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them, and so forth, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. And those are the marching orders of the church. You know, that's a command. And what has happened, we've gotten away from that. What we do is we say, come to our musical, come to our tea party, come to this, come to that, instead of actually going, doing what he wants to do. So in order to get believers to come, what we've got to do is actually take the gospel to them, wherever they are, which is to evangelize. And then in order to get, I'm sorry, the non-believers, we've got to take the evangelism, the gospel to them. The believers, what we've got to do is actually go after them as well, which is important that we have records of names and addresses and phone numbers and so forth, so we can actually send correspondence and in some cases visit them, because they need to be discipled, according to Ephesians 4:11-12, as far as you know, how he gave pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry to edify the body of Christ and so forth. So pastors and teachers do the equipping, and then we're to go out and actually evangelize and disciple others. But what happens, we've gotten away from that, and that's one of the reasons we're losing numbers in a lot of ways. And, of course, the other thing, too, in the last days there's going to be a falling away. But in order to correct our internal mistakes, we've got to actually do what Jesus told us to do, because we're suffering from the consequences. I know coming up when I got a command from my dad or mom, and this is where submission comes into, because true submission really kicks in when you're told to do something you don't want to do, but you do it anyway because you understand that you're supposed to. And Christ says, go into all the world and make disciples. He tells the church to do that. And the church has refused in a lot of cases, not all, but in a lot of cases the church has refused. And so what we're doing now, we're suffering the consequences of our disobedience. And so we go out and evangelize, and then we develop those who are saved. And we've got to have a system set up as far as discipleship training and you know, various kinds of Bible classes for people to learn at their own particular level, youth and adults and seniors and so forth as well, and then get the focus back on Christ, because we're looking at each other so much and who got on what dress and who wearing orange shoes with a green hat, and, you know, and so we can't even worship.
Right.
And then,
I was just getting ready for that.
Mm-hmm. And then a suit that don't match the shoes, and then they got red socks on and all that with a purple tie, you know. And what are you wearing, you know? And so that takes focus away from us as opposed to concentrating. I think there's a song that says, forget about ourselves and concentrate on him. And one of the things we don't do, we're looking at everything else going on and not concentrating on him. And then as a result, we're not able to worship like we should. So, and sometimes on a Sunday, we just wasted a whole day, you know, being critical of other people when we really need to be just concentrating on the Lord himself.
Yeah, and that is so true, because you'll be sitting in church, and the average person that goes to church will be sitting there, and so somebody walks in, everybody's glued on what they're getting ready to sit down at.
And they miss a blessing, you know, what the pastor's saying, because they so locked in on, you know, the event, because some people make grand entrances. You know, they're going to come. It ain't going to be a Sunday school, but they're going to be there at 11:15, 11:30, 12 o'clock. And that's another problem. Sunday church school, people ought to be, whether it be 9 or whatever the time it is, need to be there, because the church at study is very important. As a matter of fact, it's easy to preach to people that study. And then the other thing, a church is known by its Sunday, is only as strong as its Sunday school. If you had a strong Sunday school, you got a strong church. If your Sunday school weak, your church is weak. And that's
I've never heard nobody say that before.
Yeah, one of the pastor that passed away from here not long ago, several of the choir members, he actually required, if you're going to sing or do anything else, you have to be in study. And he says, Sunday's a given, so we already know you're coming on Sunday, so you're going to be in Sunday school, but through the week, another session. and they decide, look, I'm this person, I'm that person, you don't know me, I'm kin to this famous person, I don't have to do that. And he sat him down one Sunday. He said, how can you sing on an empty spirit?
Wow.
You know, so he actually sat him down. and you know what happened? When they went to study, you know, it's like, wow, I'm sorry, I missed all this, and they sang with so much more power because of what they knew what they were singing about because they had studied it. And they not only studied it, but then you have people that are sharing with others, bringing them to Christ. And so it just changes the whole worship atmosphere when you get pastors that stand up for what ought to be, and then the people who will obey the voice of their pastor in that situation.
We're going to have to get you back for part two, brother.
I mean, okay. We run out of time, man.
Yeah, we got a little bit under 10 minutes left.
Okay.
And I got like a two-part question I want to finish the show out with, but definitely we're going to have to get you back on another segment, and I'm going to stretch it out a little longer. I thought a half hour was going to be long enough, but I see right now we're going to have to stretch it out. I don't know how many people out there listening, but, I mean, brother is telling like it's supposed to be told, and that's the type of guest I like. So, basically, my last couple of questions are, how present is the book of Revelation in the sense of hypocrites and politics in today's churches, and how do we get the church back?
First question, I think, as far as how, I think we're in Revelation 3 when it talks about, too, the church at Laodicea, when he says you're neither hot or cold. You know, and we're kind of, and again, we, in general terms, there's some churches doing a very good work. As a matter of fact, Mount Pisgah and Kokomo I mentioned earlier, and then several net churches, Mount Olive here in Richmond, Mount Zion in Cincinnati, in Glendale, Ohio, Pastor Logan. I mean, several churches are doing the work, but by and large, it's kind of lukewarm overall. And how he talks about, I'll spew you out of my mouth, you know, and then he says, in verse 20, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Now, that in the context of that passage, it's actually talking to the church at Laodicea. It's talking to Christians. But the principle, some people use it during an invitation to invite a person to Christ. But if you notice, it's a dual initiative. He says, I stand at the door and knock. And then if any man hears my voice. So he's knocking and calling. And then if we hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in, which means we've got to respond by hearing and then respond by opening the door and allow him to come in and not sit him in the living room of our lives. You know, sometimes we say, have a seat right here, Jesus. I don't want you over in this closet. I don't want you, you know, you sit in the living room. Don't come upstairs. You know, he wants full reign. He wants to be Lord of all. And if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So he wants full reign of our houses. But right now, that's kind of where we are. We kind of trying to hold him at bay and won't let him have us like he wants us to do with us what he wants to do. And then the second question is how we get the church back. The main thing is being willing to serve one another. And really that's what unbelievers expect us to do, you know, to care for the disadvantaged, the sick, those that's poor and hurt and aged and mentally ill. And, you know, through those actions, the church can reclaim its rightful standing. And that's simply just being compassionate. And you think of Jesus in Matthew 9 when he says, you know, he looked on them with compassion, you know, and said, you know, talked about how the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, which means he told the disciples, look, pray and then do. And in our case, pray and then be an answer to your own prayer by doing. Because a lot of times we talk about, I'm praying for you, or I need to pray for this or that, but then we can also do something about it by helping people. And I think the key is, serving one another, and the world can see that there is something to this Christianity, because it is. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Exactly. My life has actually changed in a very positive way. Still working on me, because there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
Me too.
But, it's a day-to-day struggle, but, you know,
that's right.
As long as you're striving to get better, only good things can come out of it. And we're going to definitely have to talk again. We're going to get you in for a part two, man, and really close in on some other issues going on with the church. I'm going to close this show out today thanking Mr. Deacon Derek White for coming on to today's show and really just laying it all out there for everybody out there who's listening. And we're going to get them definitely back in for a part two. I'm definitely going to close out the show today. I want to thank everybody who's listening, for tuning in again. Check out for the updates. Email me with your comments, issuesofthedayyahoo.com. Remember, like I always say, love each other as you expect to be loved. Keep God in your life. And we're going to close out today with the Song of the Week by Kelly Price on her first album, Soul of a Woman, called Lord of All. Once again, Mr. White, thank you for tuning in.
All right, God bless you, man.
God bless you, too, and thanks, everybody else, for listening. And we're going to close you out with Kelly Price today. God bless.
All right. Take care.
Dedicate this song to you. Thank you for the opportunity to share my gift of song with the world. You created me and this ability I possess to express everything I am and hope to be through music. I know that without you I'm nothing. And in my heart I just want to say that now and forever, you shall be Lord of all in my life. Maker of the heavens, artist of they fail to realize
Blog Talk Radio.